see she's a beautiful girl, she's a beautiful girl. And everything around her is a silver pool of light. People who surround her feel the benefit of it, a major cow. She holds you captivated in her power. Suddenly I see, this is what I wanna be. Suddenly I see, why the hell it means so much to me. Suddenly I see, this is what I wanna be. Suddenly I see, why the hell it means so much to me. She's a beautiful girl, she's a beautiful girl. She fills up every corner like she's born in black and white. Makes you feel warm when you're trying to remember what you're. She likes to leave you hanging on a word. Suddenly I see, this is what I want to be. Suddenly I see, why the hell. This is what I want to be. Suddenly I see, why the hell it means so much to me. And she's taller than most, and she's looking at me. I can see her eyes looking from the page of her magazine. She makes me feel like I could be a tower, big strong tower. About to be, about to give, about to see, yeah, yeah. Suddenly I see. She got the power to be, about to give, about to see, yeah, yeah. Suddenly I see. She got the power to be, about to give, about to see, yeah, yeah. She got the power to be, about to give, about to see, yeah, yeah. Suddenly I see. This is what I want to be. Suddenly I see. Why the hell it means so much to me.
Suddenly I see.
This is what I wanna be. Suddenly I see.
Suddenly I see.
Why the hell it means so much to me. Oh, yeah, yeah. Suddenly I see.
Suddenly I see.
Why the hell it means so much to me. Yeah, yeah. Suddenly I see.
Hello, I'm Kathy Cook, and we'll be bridging some wisdom tonight with
Michael Goger.
Hello, Michael Goger.
Hello.
And how has your week been going?
Fascinating.
Explain, please.
Well. Are you getting an echo?
I'm not getting an echo.
All right.
What you been doing, baby?
Well, last night I made another personal appearance at a college with Lois T. Martin. That was very interesting because you know I'm more long distance than anything.
Right.
And it went well. It went well. It was like a standing ovation type thing.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm coming out of the closet.
Finally got on stage.
Yeah. And we
how did it feel?
It was different. Doing what I do in that setting, it was a different feel, but it worked well. It really did. And
I bet you were with all women.
All women.
Yeah.
What a field.
You were the only little boy in all those big women, huh?
Yeah, this is a tough field. It really is. Radio and metaphysics, I'll tell you.
Wow.
I'll tell you.
So, how long were you on stage?
Well, it was a 3-hour course. I did an hour and a half on connecting and preparing, and she did an hour and a half on color therapy and numerology and
let's do some connection and preparing for tonight's show then. Let's relive last night how you connected and prepared with class that you taught. You'll connect and prepare our Bridging Wisdom tonight for.
I don't go out much.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had toilets to flush themselves. I thought it was great. I'm in this bathroom meditating, connecting to my higher power, and every time I walk past something, it flushed. It was like, I'm going back to class.
It was your power, baby.
Back in the day, you had a metal handle, and you had to. And then I went, and then I look in the mirror, and the sink turns on. Yeah. I said, that's it. But
that's cute.
I usually like to prepare right in my work area and go right into business at hand. But when you're doing stage and personal appearances, you're all over. You're walking in, you're walking out.
Did you say, Tassie, hold my cape?
I said, Tassie, hold my cape.
Yeah, I felt that. I was holding it. Ashley and I were talking about the 9/11. She's like a walking dictionary for that. She even knows how things were built and made and why it blew up. And we're trying to get her on the show if we can catch her. But anyway, I said, wait a minute. I kept going, wait a minute. Michael's connecting with me. And I'd go out there and come back. And I said, he's telling me to hold his cape.
I felt you, baby.
You did?
Yeah, I felt you. I use a lot of your mother wisdom.
Did she? My grandmother wisdom?
Grandmother wisdom. Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah, really.
Give an example of what you shared about what I shared with you from my ancestors.
How you charge the pendulum.
And what was that?
And rubbing it up and down, dragging it down your arms, up and down your arms. And
mm-hmm. But what, using a needle, did you tell them about the needle?
Using a needle and a thread, you know. Everybody was like struggling with making a pendulum, and it was, I told them, look, everybody start with a needle and a thread. It's the best way to go. Mm-hmm. And when you get home, make yourself a nice little one out of needle and thread and work with that.
Yeah, I usually like to make it about as long as from my tip of my finger to my elbow. And then double the thread, you know, two times, and then just tie it with the needle in the middle. It doesn't matter what weight the needle is, as long as it's a needle. Yeah. Or the color of the thread. Just make it. And tie a little knot and hold it up over your wrist. The point of it up over your wrist. It's a little bit above the veins, and we used to do it when people were pregnant, is mostly how that came about, because if it goes to the left and right, that's a girl. If it goes up and down, it's a boy. If it circles around and then kind of sticks straight out, it's twins.
It's what?
It's multiple. It works every time, I promise.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you can ask it, yes, and see, I learned to have the pendulum inside my head, I don't know, it's in between my ears, I guess. But if I ask a question, the pendulum in my head goes, or it doesn't now, unless I obviously want it to. Sometimes my head will shake a real hard no without me controlling it when somebody's asking me a question, you know, or it'll spiral or whatever out there, or do a figure eight. And so that is the advanced way to go, but starting with the basics is that old pendulum. You know, with needle and thread, you're good.
Yeah.
That's good that you shared that. Michael, yes. I want to tell everybody you remember that dream, how I had the pyramid. I was always inside the friggin' pyramid, but the top was open. And just couple of weeks ago, I found out that Orion's belt, his actual belt, the second star over from his belt, was a direct connection into the pyramid in Egypt. And you know how you always balance my chakras and go up and down and get me spinning the proper way. Yeah. Well, I got to thinking, I always stand in that pyramid with my feet shut from my shoulders. I was telling you this yesterday, and hopefully you used it in your teachings, because we're all standing inside of a pyramid, and its opening is our root chakra, right? Right in between our legs.
Absolutely.
And it just spirals right on up, and to the top of our head is our third eye. I mean, our all-seeing, whatever we decide to download in the universe, whatever we decide to keep inside of ourselves and work with, or, you know, cleanse or purify or balance, or, you know, take in information or whatever. And that is why you said be careful not to ever close it.
Right.
Because to me, that's a pyramid straight, you know, between our legs, and then we go up into a pyramid. It's kind of like the we and the W and we turned upside down as the M and me. But you did use that last night, you said, too, as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought it was fascinating that you pointed that out. When you're in a, and then if you throw in a star formation with your arms out and your head back a little, you got a pyramid under you, and damn, you're a pentagram.
Yeah. Explain what a pentagram is to people.
Well, everybody, I guess the first thing, probably not here on BBS because there's more open minds here, but the average folks, when they see a pentagram, right away it's devil worship or...
I thought that's if it's turned sideways.
Satanism. No, if the two point, if it has 5 points. Okay. Mm-hmm. If the 2 points are up, it's Satanism. If the 3 points are up, it's earth-based and Wiccan. Yeah. And the meaning of it is the four elements, earth, wind, or, spirit over matter.
You know, my cousins, they're called Rainbow Girls or whatever. It's the Mason's children, Rainbow Girls. And then the mothers are... star, what are the Eastern Stars? They wear one with a fish in the middle of it, a pendulum with a fish, and that represents both, you know, Christian and Wiccan.
Yeah, I see
that. Not all of them do that, but I noticed that on one of my cousins, the one that says that when she's around us, her hair stands up on her arms.
Right. So, I tried to explain to them, don't be afraid of... the pentagram, because I use a pendulum that has a pentagram on it, and everybody was like, oh, you know, and I knew right away, I better explain this a little. So
it is a scary thing. You know, my family is very nervous over what I do, even shamanism.
What fascinates me, the spirit of Satanism is material over matter. Matter over spirit and capitalism. And our country's based on capitalism. So, I don't know.
And materialistic.
Mm-hmm. So,
you
tell me.
Yeah, you tell me, man. I'll tell you. Michael, what I want to ask you, I want to ask you so many things, but did you have any specific standout people that just really will touch home for your beginning this journey on stage?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was pulled to a woman. I was getting wicker, which I knew was very unusual in my area because it's a lot of evangelical and Christian denominations, and you know, they have a Wiccan, and I knew she was a Wiccan. And but I was, what really stood out was I was pulled to her daughter, and I told her daughter, I said, you were executed for witchcraft. And the whole family went,
ooh.
I said, are you practicing Wicca? And she goes, no, my mom is a witch. And I knew it, but I didn't want to be the one to put her on the spot, you know. Mm-hmm. I like it when you tell me.
Yeah.
So that was a stick-out moment, having a witch in the audience. Another one was that stuck out was the people that are hungry for knowledge and their ages and the walks of life. Yeah, we had 80-year-olds.
Could you speak up just a little bit for me?
What stuck out was the hunger for knowledge out there. Yeah, and the age brackets. I mean, we had 18-year-olds, we had 80-year-olds, and they were very open-minded to developing psychically.
Give us an example of some of the things you did.
I explained how to cleanse, how to center and how to protect.
Uh-huh.
And how to charge and how to project without going too deep. And then I explained psychometry and the pendulum and how to use them in your everyday life. And then I went walking through the audience doing spot readings, which was very fun and intoxicating. It was, I'm addicted now.
Why are you addicted?
I could do it every day, walk through an audience and spot read people. I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, you're good at it. I mean, it's something that is, oh, man, you just blows my mind.
I was born to read.
If you could think of anything that you could offer the public listening audience at how to start in this field, what good wisdom would you offer to them that are wondering if they're gifted? And everybody's gifted, right? Let me hear how you opened your stage performance.
I went humming.
Yeah, did you really?
No, I was basically in a light trance, and Lois T. Martin said, she walked up to me and she said, "You were nervous and shitting in your pants?" I said, "I think so." She goes, "If that was nervous," she goes, "you fooled me, boy."
Really?
She complimented me, and it meant a lot. When you get complimented from somebody like Lois T. Martin, it means a lot.
She's a hard cookie. And she's good cookie, hard. Yeah. She's good at her field.
Oh, yeah.
Respect. One of the best out there.
Yeah. And she said, "You were phenomenal."
Wow.
Phenomenal.
But how did you open? After the humming, humming, humming. I like the way that you tell what, you know, you told me a little bit last night, but I like what you said. Everybody, you were asking questions of, is anybody in here gifted? And, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, the college has a different energy to it. And Lois is bringing me into nightclubs and fundraisers, and that's going to be a different animal. Mm-hmm. But the college, I felt it very important to start with the basics and start from the beginning and give them some type of history and knowledge of energy fields and spirit. So I challenged them. Being a genius I am, I
love it when you stroke yourself.
Yeah, I do.
It's so sexy.
Yeah. But you know what I did? I said, "How many people believe in God? Let me see your hands." So it was, and then how many people believe in afterlife?
Did everybody believe in God?
There was a couple that didn't raise their hands, and I asked them, "What are you, an atheist or a Satanist?" Or no, I'm just not sure. And I said, "Just not sure." All right. Which is the worst thing you can be. Don't be an empty vessel. Be down with something. If you're down with nothing, you're going to be nothing. And and then reincarnation. How many believe in reincarnation? How many believe in the human energy field, the afterlife? And so I challenged them to question and look inside themselves.
Before
I even started teaching. So these people knew who they were and what they believed.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I didn't want to deal with 20, 25 people that had no idea what they believed or who.
I love the way you opened it, though, with letting them know the basics.
You in metaphysics, I take this extremely serious. And Hollywood and...
And radio could.
It ruined the field a little bit, and it's not hocus pocus. It's not magic. It's spirit in action, and it's science.
Action, reaction.
the metals
out there, physics inside our bodies.
Absolutely.
Out there and inside.
Yeah.
As above, so below.
Yeah. It was like Jesus trying to teach cavemen that, well, you have an energy in you, and when you do die, it's going to move forward. Can you imagine how hard that was to explain it to them?
Oh, wow.
People, it
was for me to explain to you, about, like, I'm going to give an example last night. Your visit where you went, in our transit meditative state of mind.
What do you mean?
The spaceship and, I took you up there and mother and father.
I'll tell you, folks, if you want a healing or some kind of an adventure, Tassie and I meditated together, and wow, it was
beyond. You come back a different person when you go to the spaceship.
Yeah, you do.
To the mothership.
You come back a superstar.
Yeah. You do, literally. They give you gifts that's beyond. But you've got to be ready, and you've got to be open-minded, and you've got to really be in your centered self in order they watch people for a while first. They've been waiting on you for a long time. And you give the example of when you were a kid, how they came to you.
During a childhood surgery, I believe I was abducted or protected or...
Mm-hmm. You're protected.
It was a tunnel, and it was going into a spaceship, and there was all types of advanced beings lifting me into it.
You know what's so amazing, Michael? The opening of the 9/11 and what they've done with the opening of the game. They used a blue beam to represent the two
gorgeous
towers. And then Yoko Ono, she has this huge blue beam. She opened in honor of peace for her husband, John Lennon. And it's a blue beam that shoots straight up. So this blue beam, this Hopi prophecy is coming. It's everywhere. And I wear a blue star on my forehead in a couple of pictures at Christmas time. And I can't, but other pictures, they're not there. So I believe the blue star is within us all. And it's up to us how we're going to exceed and ascend in this earthly tent that we wear. And mother and father, I call them mother and father. My father is Jesus Christ, that he's my brother, my father, and everything. Because Creator is the ultimate father. But we all have special entities that if we look inside. Remember that tape that I found when you were here? And it says, I'm from that star. That's who I am. And I called it Shinoya, which was Shinoya. And then I said, I'm a She-Man. And that was when I got the word shaman. Mm. Do you remember that? Did you listen to that tape? Yanni was playing in the background.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was tranced out there, and I was sitting on the front porch of 9930. No, I was sitting on 10308 Rocking Chair Road in Matthews, where I raised my children. And this was, gosh, a long time ago. But I mean, it hits you hard when you realize where and what and how, and oh, it's amazing. But all of us have, there's seven layers to heaven. I believe that the star system, is heaven. That, we go through the East Gate. I know that for a fact when the heaven gates are open when we pass. But I realize something. We are actually not alive here on earth. We're in a womb. And this body we're wearing is kind of like an eggshell. The womb, inside the womb of Mother Earth. Yeah. And we are, instead of dead, we are alive when we die. We go on and go home to where we came from. That's why I feel like we're asleep. Most people are asleep here. But to me, in my dreams, I get more information in my dreams in trance than I do when I'm in a waking hour. That's when I question reality or question if that's right or that's wrong. So now I realize that I don't have to question anything. It just is. We are right where we're supposed to be, and we're doing what we're supposed to do, and everything's for a reason.
That's right.
So give me some of your experience that you had last night, because I was so tired I didn't get to talk to you after. It's very long.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day.
As above, really? So below.
Right. Well, did you get to see them? Could you see them? Because I know I put you up against the wall and we went through it. And from there, you were just, you enjoyed your conversations and everything. Could you see Mother and Father and any of, because you said there was a group of them.
It was extremely interesting, very deep meditation, one that I never experienced. I had an out-of-body experience.
I know. I tried to get you back in your body, and they told me to be quiet. Yeah. And I said, be quiet. He'll do it when he's ready. I was like, ooh, I got spanked by Mother.
Yes, and then I was...
Your father's name was Anton.
Anton.
Mm-hmm.
I met some fellow that was in a hurry.
Uh-huh. Very matter of fact.
But he had to greet me.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason. And matter of factly. Cheerio, old chap. That type, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a room full of beings that were...
Like family.
Like family, but they had the ability to x-ray you, feel you, look through you, send you images.
It came like a billion things at one time.
Alter your perceptions of reality.
Maybe I call it fine-tuning. I go up there to get fine-tuned and adjusted.
Oh, I got adjusted. Let me tell you, folks, this woman hasn't been discovered yet. I kid you not. It was a meditation she led me on, and believe me, I've been doing this since I was a child. I thought I seen and done it all, and last night was a...
I took you to the mothership.
Yeah, it was a Red Bull meditation.
Yeah.
Because I never experienced anything. I never experienced so much phenomena in the course of one meditation.
What's so neat is that even if somebody tried to, have a, let's hypothetically say a chip in someone so that they could read their thoughts or what, they're doing and find their past, present, and future, you can't go there in the ship unless you go with someone like you or me now or, anybody that's a part of that place and try to read it, what, transpired or, they get bits and pieces of it, but it's just like watching TV. Unless you experience it, it can only be a perception that is just a yearning for. And it goes to show you they are there, are they not?
Oh, yeah. They've been there from the beginning.
I know, but I'm just saying if you had any hesitance of any slightly doubt, it woke you up to remember.
And it altered me, too, because I came back...
with a lot of gifts.
I couldn't... When I can't sleep, Michael Goger never has a problem sleeping. And I couldn't sleep. And I had this super normal energy surge. I was actually considering either lifting weights or getting up and...
Wow!
And running around the trailer park. So...
You probably could have lifted that trailer.
That's what it felt like. I said, what
it feels like you, and you literally can, because you're my, just like when I say, I can walk on water. And God says, how are you doing that? And I said, because I can. You just know you can. You can do anything. And when you come back, especially it's still fresh like it is now with you, you can do anything. And the reading and knowing that, the depths of the knowing, just like with your grandson coming to the door, you're going to be a musician. It's the intuitive is just turned on so strong.
It was phenomenal. And then when I closed, I couldn't close my eyes because every time I closed my eyes, I had a movie screen playing a film. And it was like, okay. Mm. I said, I'm going to have to sit up with my eyes open.
That's why I hung up. I mean, I got really tired. I was already tired. I slept all day even. But the thing is I woke up at 2:38 and I said, he is still in that trance. And I almost called you, but about maybe, I'd say 20 minutes later, I sent you some sleepy juice. Did you receive it?
I did. And I felt you thinking about me and wanting to call me, and I was going to call you, and I didn't know if I should, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what was in that shit?
It's amazing.
But, it was, yeah. I felt like Kid Rock partying with Hank Williams Jr.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like, what the hell
did you hear? But what I want to know is, did you visually get any visualization of them? Because I know Mother was with you mostly. Because she was balancing the male-female. That's what she does first, is balance our male and female, because all of us are yin and yang. And it's almost like I saw her, she wears the Statue of Liberty face, and now I know why, because you're from New York. And then now she doesn't wear the Statue of Liberty face today. She's just plain. She's a aqua blue, and it's really smooth and gorgeous, big, huge, not black eyes, but they're chocolate brown. And the feel of her is like the feel of, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy, where they stick their finger in just a little bit. She moves like that. But she told me they were here to understand feelings, because that's something they lack, and they know all the anything and technology, but they want to understand feelings. And you and I are so in love and love each other so much that I shared you with her to help them understand the depths of feelings. Because when I go up there, they take our energy, because we don't know sometimes who's thinking what or whose body's who. Like, I'll get a rash and you'll itch, you know, or you'll get a stomach ache and I'll throw up and not even have one. It's with that intertwined. And so that helped them a lot to understand the feelings, because, you know, that's what they're here for. And they also want so much to help out with this dilemma we're in, this world. But they said that if they did come to our aid, we would always, and the only thing that always is God, but you think about it, we would always depend on them. And they don't want us depending on anything. They want us to be able to make these things and understandings ourselves.
Absolutely.
And it's really hard on them. And I said, well, if it's hard on you, then that's a feeling. And they went, you know, wow. And I said, yeah, that's a feeling, because you're having compassion for the world. And so it's hard. It's pretty neat working with them, you know, and helping them in understand. But you'll be giving lectures up there.
You know, baby, I believed in alien life, and I got a massive, a big part of my library is on alien and UFOs. And
I was going to ask you about your library, because you remember how you said what's behind that closed door? And I said it looked like a library full of papers. And
yeah.
And you said
all the records.
Yeah.
I seen that last night.
Did you? That's what, good.
You remember me telling you? I says,
you were really there, yes.
I said, Tassie, what the hell is that? That building, all those columns.
Yeah. And it was, it looked like almost, it looked like Atlantis to a degree.
Hey, Rome, Atlantis, to me it was, it felt like a hall of records, and I had access to it, or...
They plugged me in like the Matrix, and then I downloads, all of a sudden I know how to play any instrument. I don't know how to do karate, or, you know, it's really strange. It's not strange, because I accept it, but you came back smooth. I told you when we finished, I said, I bet you feel so smooth. That's the only word I can use to describe that.
Yeah.
Smooth, liquidy smooth, like velvety, like a pool of water that just doesn't have a single ripple in it.
Yeah. It was like, I don't think there's quite a word to explain. the energy, the knowledge, and even the pleasure, the rush of it all at one time.
I know your body feels like it's orgasmic, but it's not that kind of orgasm. It's just orgasmic. Like it's beyond that. It's beyond that beyond.
Yeah, yeah. Now I know why I started very young with astral travel and remote viewing.
Yeah.
It's all coming together now.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
Connected dots.
Yeah, and everybody says, "What do you? Everything you do is free. What's up with that?" And it's why not? You know, I'm trying
it's
to.
Like, it's like we come here unraveled because we're a star when we're born. You know, when we're existent, we're a star. We always have existed, and we get unraveled. The star unravels, and then we connect the dots of our memories and our lessons, and if this works, keep it. If it doesn't, trash it. If it is a part of it, then maybe I'll use it later, like the library that you saw in there, and use it later. But if it doesn't fit in your library, trash it. If it's something, definitely know for a fact that it's something you will never use. But
yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, but
go ahead, babe.
I was going to tell your audience.
Your audience too. You're here as soon as I am.
Then
I can catch you. You're so busy, like last night.
I kind of hang out now. I got to come in and hang out at the studio, and but I guess it's my audience too. The Matrix. Mm-hmm. I've been in here long enough to have a bad
You know what, Michael, I was going to tell you. I've heard around the grapevine, I don't know who said it because I don't really care, but the Matrix needs to be taken away. But we are the Matrix.
Yeah.
And just like the computer is part of the Matrix, but we are the Matrix because we're all numbers and DNA and code and all that stuff. And if you think about it, the machine that you can see some things in the Matrix is people's YouTubes, people's conversations, people's TV spots, people's radio spots, people's thoughts, and how somebody want to destroy a Matrix is beyond me, because the Matrix is everything we are, the star systems to everything.
Exactly. And the internet was given to us to prepare us for what it feels like to live in that.
Exactly.
Not many people realize that.
Mm-hmm.
That it was developed. Well, actually,
so we can connect it better, connect dots together, make a big web, like a spider web.
Right, because when you cross, you leave the eggshell behind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've been on the net as long as our grandchildren and our children will be, you're going to know how to operate immediately in spirit. You won't have to be trained or shown anything.
You know what's odd? This Macintosh I use, the computer, it has a new system. It went from one to another, from the leopard to the lion. And the lion is, in the Bible says, and the lion shall lay down with the sheep, and the sheep are people. God is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in clear waters, which we did last night, the clear waters, and restore your soul.
Yeah.
That you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you should fear no evil. The rod and staff. To me, the rod and staff are from the roots of the tree. And the tree is what holds the earth together. And that shall comfort us, to have that root, that deep root. And he prepares the table before us, which is, the internet or people or food. And it goes on and on and on. But if you think about that, the lion lays down with the sheep. And that is when you have connected to that healing for the earth and healing for mankind. And this earth is going to be okay. I'm connecting that with last night's meditation and you finally getting on stage and my world coming together. And I want to explain to the active listening audience. First, let me timestamp this. It is September the 13th, 2011. We are on BBS Radio, Station 1. This is Bridging Wisdom with Kathy Cook and Michael Gover. We're on every Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock Pacific Time, which is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we're on for an hour. Now, Michael, we've got like 10 minutes.
Go ahead, baby. I didn't want to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say we should give your audience an update.
That's what I was ready to do.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to say next week you'll be broadcasting here in my house, our house. Right.
Yeah, so we're going to make videos. You guys got a lot of fun coming.
Mm-hmm.
And
you'll be here 3 weeks, and then you'll go back for a little while, and you'll be back 3 more weeks, and we'll do it that way. So that keep it up. Yeah. We're in love.
Yes, we are. There's a lot of confusion on the net, and
that's why we pull out of the net.
So we just want to. We're weaving and bobbing because privacy at this stage is sometimes difficult, and everything you say, do, and type is scrutinized or twisted or misunderstood. So
unless they're in it and in the conversation. That's to me is, remember when we were kids, we'd play that game where the teacher would give you one sentence or one word, then you'd whisper it to the next person, the next person, the next person. By the time it got all the way around for the teacher to say, now what was the sentence? It doesn't have anything to do with the beginning sentence.
Right.
Because it gets, and that's like with all these, I got a book out. You know, it's great because people are able to actually publicize their inside journal of who they are and what they feel, you know. And books are great, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But people have got to realize that they've got to go to the root, the old timers,
Sigmund,
Jung, Watson, you know, those type of Newton,
Edgar Casey,
Einstein. Things like that, and then that way they would be able to hold the calls, please, Seth. We would just be able to feel the intensity of the real, the roots, because everybody else's. There's a few books out there, don't get me wrong, but if someone could write more in a storytelling instead of factual, this is that, because if you look at that in a book audience, when you're going to get something to study, if someone says it's like this or it's like that, put it down. Because if it's not studied, like, I wonder if it, you know, and to me it's that, you know, and look at if they use I a lot, and look if they use me a lot, and they're talking about themselves, because that's their experience, strength, and hope. Not to say that it's not any good, but put it down, think about it, then pick the book back up and realize that this is that person's perspective. And that's where you take some of it or all of it, dump some of the information, and keep some for later. Because there's so many different, you look like through a kaleidoscope. And you can turn that kaleidoscope so many different ways. But it's all beautiful. It all interweaves. So I'm just saying, for people, when they promote their book and say, in my book, because people are saying it so much that it's getting to where people don't even want to, you know, listen to, but everybody's book is important. And
absolutely,
make sure that when you say my book that I have written on my experience, my strength and my hope for things, you know, let people know that it's your perspective. But if people would start writing more in a story time, like a, you know, given like a movie, you know, what I mean is a good old novel. A good old novel. Like Gone with the Wind, or, you know, if they would write like that, or pick up an author, pick up a book and find a novel and read it in the way that that person writes, like Stephen King or, you know, Steven Spielberg, whoever. To me, that is getting some juicy insight there, and people are going to want to read the book more because it's a story.
Story.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to knowledge, knowing, just knowing and reading between the lines.
Right. I just am concerned over so many authors out there, and they're not getting what they really need to hit their audience. It's making it hard for the book to sell. You know, think of the promotion and how you would like your book to be read if it's your perspective, and where your credentials, and, you know, make sure that, you know, your credentials could be creator. And also, we are so parallel with so many things in this world today, and becoming one consciousness. And so it feels like, oh, somebody took my work, or oh, somebody's using my words. But it, what it is we're all connecting as a dot to make the system.
And actually, it's a form of flattery, and actually, they're doing footwork for you. Now, are they making money? We'll talk about it later.
Exactly. But, that's what I'm saying. You know, they're not making money because they're, you know, it's the way that they're presenting their book.
Exactly. If it's done appropriately,
you get blessed with where you success with where the truth lies in.
That's what I'm trying to say. That's what Jesus came to say. In giving, you receive.
Seek and find, right?
You know. And another thing, baby, is I want to tell everybody that they're gonna know and hear more about us with this trip here. We're gonna do some interviews and video work, and
we are doing a ceremony, a ritual,
and everybody will come to understand us better. We're very simple, sweet souls, and we're going through a lot.
And just pray for us, because it's very, very hard to transition's hard. But it's a good one. It's something that we both want, but it's a very difficult. You know, we want to do it so right that we almost make it. It's almost like taking a painting and looking at it and deciding it needs a little bit more and a little bit more, instead of allowing God to be the creator. We do allow God to be the creator. It's just we want so bad to get our own human thoughts and hands in it that it tinges it a lot, and we have to step back away from each other and clear the field a little bit and learn from how. We learned so much about what and how we're very strong to have this long distance relationship and not even Skype each other, but just energy and talking. And it teaches us what and how the other person works and ticks.
Absolutely.
Because when you and I have any kind of miscommunication at all, we always, when we get back together, discuss how did this feel? What did you gain out of it? Well, I know what I want. Now I don't want. Now I need, and I don't need. And I'm telling you, it's always, we sit down and discuss it, and then it comes back even more powerful.
Absolutely. And like I said before, we're very gentle, sweet souls, and we give until it hurts, and when we're done, we like to relax, and we are very private. But when we're in the camera or the mic, you're gonna love us, and we're gonna love you.
Right. And if we say the door's closed, we hope that the door is truly closed, because we need our privacy.
Of course.
That means all cameras off, all lights off, all voice listening, not devices off. If our door is closed when Michael gets, because my door's open all the time while I'm by myself. I don't care, you know, who sees what, hears what. You know, let them study me, because I am here to please and help this world evolve. But I ask you publicly, this is a public request, when Michael is here, if we say the door is closed, please, everything off. Just give us that courtesy.
Exactly.
I think we just got it. Ding! Michael, we've got less than 3 minutes left. I would like to make an energy ball.
Go ahead, baby, and I'll look for
I'm just going to make the energy ball. And I want you to start placing things in it.
I'm only teasing you.
What'd you say? You're looking for a room?
I said, yeah, make an energy ball and I'll get a room.
Oh, does that mean we have a phone date after the...
Ooh, only if I could tear the hotel room up.
Only if the door's closed.
Go ahead, baby.
I want you to make your energy ball. I've made it. People, you can clap your hands together and then rub them together, and you get that friction going. And then you just bring your hands apart maybe a quarter of an inch and then back together, and you'll feel that energy. If you'd like to see that energy, do it with the dark in the dark in a dark room and stare through your hands as you pull them back and forth. And don't make them tight. like stiff. You want the energy to be your hands relaxed, but going back and forth. And then start making a circle. And you know, circling your hand, one hand over the other. I keep my right hand still, and I circle my left hand, and I just keep going. And then I start bringing both hands together, opposite. One's in front, one's behind. And you start making that ball and going in a circle. And I place in love, unconditional love, acceptance, reverence. Reverence is of the virtue. Humbleness, humanity, peace, tranquility, purification, a start of a new beginning, and
generosity.
Mm-hmm.
Passion.
Yes. Respect.
I'm ready to reject it. You want me to?
Yeah. Okay, you go ahead and close it out and pull it together.
I'll clap my hand, and we're going to, let's just say.
So might it be.
If we're going to be one world and one government, let it be the kingdom of God.
Exactly. Way to go. Kiss. Okay. Seal it with a kiss. Seal that with a kiss, baby.
Mwah.
Mwah. And with that, we are off the air.